Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Rockets took down the Golden State Warriors last night to even up that series at a game apiece. The final score, thanks to 38 points by Jalen Green. 109-94. Jalen Green... and what he did in last night's game was really something to behold. And I don't know that it happens again. And I don't think that all of a sudden one good game by Jalen Green means that Jalen Green is him. You know, a lot of touchdown dances last night. For all of those who have stayed loyal to Jalen Green, because that's what you're expected to do these days. You're not allowed to question things. You're not allowed to criticize things. You're either on the wagon or you're off the wagon, which is weird. No nuance, huh? But a lot of people who have been claiming Jalen Green is the guy that will determine the Rockets' future are basically demanding apologies of people who have criticized Green in the past. To me, that is a step too far. I will give Green all the credit in the world for last night's performance. It really was a good one. He showed chutzpah, balls, confidence. He didn't let game one stick with him. He shook it off. He did the little things early on. He did the scoring as the game wore on. And I think early on you saw a couple of moments where you're like, okay, he feels his shot, but he really, down the stretch of this game, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, I think he really showed that when he gets hot, he can stay hot at the playoff level. We know he has elite speed, elite dribbling ability. He can create his own shot, unlike a lot of players in the league. He can shoot. Not the best shooter. He can dunk. He can drive. The guy is a very capable scorer, and I've said at times I think that maybe his final form is going to be the best sixth man in the league by far. I know Peyton Pritchard just won it. No, I feel like Jalen Green could be a 30-minute sixth man coming into games and just taking over offensively when the backups, when the subs come in. But in a game like last night where he's doing it against that Golden State Warriors team, which, yeah, was out Jimmy Butler for the majority of the game, it was really awesome to see. I just think that we got to pump the brakes when it comes to thinking, okay, Green's figured it out. It's a 7-game series. We've seen James Harden have good games in the playoffs, you know? And I think we'd all agree that James Harden, better player, at least to this point, because Jalen Green's young, than Jalen Green. We might like Jalen Green a little bit more because Green does more of the little things that Harden didn't do. Harden always a scorer and nothing more. Green actually does try on the defensive side of things, actually does put in some effort on the boards, actually does from time to time set up his teammates like he did very well early on. But don't be demanding an apology to the many people who have doubted him. He's got to do it again. He's probably going to need to do it at least one time more before the end of this series. which I still think is going to go 6 or 7. The latest update when it comes to Jimmy Butler and his status for this series is this. This is reported by Brett Siegel, who is a NBA insider for Clutch Points. Quote, early word on Jimmy Butler this morning is that the Warriors don't feel like this is anything worse than what Steph Curry dealt with a few weeks back. Okay, so Steph had a pelvic contusion too? What's up with all these pelvic contusions? Is this code for balls? Is this code for dong? You ever had that happen? I will admit, when I played high school football down in St. Petersburg, Florida, from 2003 through 2006, damn, it's 20 years ago. When I was playing down there, I did not wear a cup. And I found out at one point it might be better to wear a cup. That wasn't fun. There was a moment where I was trying to tackle one of my teammates named Josh. And Josh, while I lined up to tackle him, his knee went right between my legs and hit me right in the pelvis. As I fell back on the ground, because Josh was bigger than me, and also, ow, my balls! Josh either accidentally or Draymond Green-esquely stepped on my stuff. I had bruises on Pauly Jr. and the boys for a good 3 weeks. Oh, they're tender. So tender. Can I procreate? I guess we'll find out if I ever get married. I don't know. But yeah, a pelvic contusion sounds brutal. But okay, if Steph Curry's only out a couple of days with it, then he can get back in there. And I think when it comes to Jimmy Butler, a guy who we all respect his toughness, a guy that we look at and know that he wants to be out there, like the odds that Jimmy Butler is kept out multiple games by this, if even one game, I do think that they are rather long. I do think that we will see Jimmy Butler again in this series. And I think, you know, if you're also being honest with yourself about Rockets-Warriors game one, the Rockets could have won that game by a lot more than they did. Hey, a win is a win, right? But I feel like there are some things that definitely need to be cleaned up when this series goes to San Francisco on Saturday. Alperen Şengün, who had 17 and 16, has got to stop missing easy shots underneath the hoop. Come on, man. 40%? And I get that he looked really good in game one, where the Rockets' size advantage was so obvious. But we've seen Şengün have these same struggles under the basket a lot this year. This wasn't the only time it's looked like that. And like Şengün's going to need to have another big game. Fred VanVleet, his struggles shooting have continued. He's going to have to do something. Because I'm looking at this series going forward, a series where I expect Jimmy Butler to return, as one where Jalen Green's going to need help. It can't be just Jalen Green. Somebody else has to contribute. This is a Rockets team. A team that's not very good at scoring. A team. Green can't do everything. Who do you trust to actually step up consistently? Because right now with Green, we're not quite there. Todd the Show brings up that Şengün was getting fouled quite a bit. It was a weird game from a foul perspective. Because game one, they let a lot of things slide. This game, I felt the whistle was a little more, was definitely a lot more used than it was in game one. I felt like they did not let all contact go like they were in game one. And I got to say, it ruined the flow of the game. That game took forever last night. That's one of the longest basketball games I can remember, considering the final score was a 15-point differential. A game like that should be quick, right? Some comments on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Fred VanVleet needs to join the party, says Asim. Desert Show says Fred VanVleet can ride the bench for all I care. Yeah, that's very polarizing topic, Mr. Fred VanVleet. What do you do about him? Because, I mean, he is your best ball handler, but he also thinks he's open every single time he shoots and thinks he's a good shooter every single time he shoots. From the 832, Shingun needs to stop turning the ball over too. Agree with that. More texts in. 713-780-3776 to call to text. From the 409 on Jalen Green, what impressed me most was he took a lot of shots, but he did not give up even though he was missing as well. I like it, but that does lend itself to the Fred VanVleet line of thinking. I'm going to keep shooting and 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 shooting, even if I'm 0 for 20.
I would say to that,
never, never quit.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
There you have it. Wise words from Cal McNair.
That's Cal McNair.
Never, never quit, baby.
Never, never quit.
He also has this to say after the Rockets won game two.
It's always fun to win.
It is always fun to win. That's true. That is very true.
He's a wise man.
Very wise man. His team will be drafting later on today, 25th overall. Does seem like they're going to get an offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks from Texas or Tyler Booker from Alabama, but that's a couple of hours away. Brian McDonald and Freshawn Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Guess what? Vag. It's back. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that. Vanessa and Gallant. Remember that radio show? Yeah. It's one of many radio shows that I've done, and all my co-hosts leave me all the time. Well, Vanessa's going to grace us with her presence next. She was courtside for last night's Rockets win over the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about this game a little bit more. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
And joining us right now on the HRNP guest line is an old friend. A friend who may or may not have left me for a better gig. I don't know. I think that's up for you guys to decide. Her name is Vanessa Richardson. She is the Rockets sideline reporter for the Space City Home Network. She is also one of my best friends. Vanessa, what a win that was last night. Specifically, Jalen Green with 38 points. I would argue that this was the most important performance of his young career. What say you?
First of all, hi, I love you.
Love you too.
Great to hear from you. I am going to also agree with you. I think when you take inventory of the fact that, first of all, it was, you know, only his second ever playoff game, and it was one where he had a serious bounce back. I think it was the most impressive performance of his young career. And the thing that I really, really appreciated about his post-game at the podium, And for the guys to go to the podium, by the way, is a big deal. And I thought he handled it really well. And he was very vulnerable and very honest and said that first game, the lights were bright. The court seemed bigger. He had some jitters. He was nervous. Paul, not a lot of NBA players would admit that, right? They would. Wow. A lot of them would try to do the two. I'm too cool. Oh, I wasn't nervous. Oh, I just had an off game. Like Jalen was like, no, I was nervous. It was tough. And I loved his honesty, and just his performance was so incredible and so dominant.
I love the courtside interview that you had with Alperen Şengün at the end of the game, because Şengün was leading the way for the Rockets in game one. A little more of a struggle for him last night, specifically under the basket. Green led the way in game number two. These are two guys who came into the Rockets together in an organization that was certainly in disarray, and now here they are with their first playoff victory.
It's funny, and I mean, I know Alperen, you say he struggled a little. I mean, he still had a double-double, so that's the funny thing.
True.
Like, he was so good. He was so good in game one. But look, and people can tell me that I'm corny or like that. But like, here's the thing: that motto that they have, the sometimes you, sometimes me, always us, they actually do believe in that. And so, like, Alperen was totally fine that last night Jalen scored the most points. He was totally fine with that. And, you know, the guys that maybe didn't show up as much in the box score and didn't get all the accolades, but they were helping, you know, with screening and they were helping with, you know, whatever they needed to do on the defensive end, like they're fine with that. And so what an incredible couple performances that we've seen from Alperen. And the thing that I like is that the Rockets, now I know they obviously dropped that first game, but they did get it within four that first game. And so we're seeing them do things in different ways. And I think that's really important.
Vanessa Richardson, Space City Home Network, with us, our Rockets sideline reporter, my old co-host, my radio ex-wife, with us on the HRNP guest line. So you get a better perspective than most, given that you're right courtside, when it comes to some of the many things that we see over the course of a game. Specifically, and having talked to some of the players after the game, what's the consensus on what happened underneath the basket when, in my opinion, you saw Steven Adams accidentally bump into Amen Thompson, who was being held back by Draymond Green. He falls into Jimmy Butler. Butler upended, falls, contuses his pelvis. Sounds painful. We'll see if he's back in this series. What do people think happened there? Because online, there's certainly a massive debate on whether or not that was intentional. And I know we've talked about Amen Thompson before. As far as guys who would do something like that, Thompson seems to be one of the least likely guys to do it.
He would never. I don't think any of our guys would ever do anything to intentionally hurt somebody. Look, this is a physical matchup. These are two teams. And I even asked Ime Udoka about this before the series started when I did a one-on-one interview with him, where, like, yeah, in NBA history, you have the Rasheed Wallaces, the Charles Oakley, the Ron Artests. Like, those instigators are so much fun. The Warriors have Draymond Green. The Rockets have Dylan Brooks. They're physical teams. But, like, all joking and all hyperbole aside, I can never see one of our guys trying to hurt somebody. This is a physical game. There are going to be bumps and bruises, and there are going to be things like that that happen. And, you know, I wish Jimmy the best. I never want to see a player get hurt. And I could never, ever see anybody in our locker room intentionally hurting somebody.
I don't feel that way either. Hell, I'd even say with Draymond Green, who obviously last night drew a lot of ire from Rockets fans with several chants. This is a guy who clearly tries to get under the skin of the opposition with some of the shoving and pushing that he does. And I found it very interesting to hear to a T just about every single Rocket who was asked about the physicality in this game, whether it was Şengün or Jalen Green or Tari Eason, about how the Warriors try to get under your skin. And I'm imagining courtside, you're seeing a lot more of the shenanigans, maybe not even from just Draymond Green, that this team is doing to try to get in these guys' heads.
Seeing it, hearing it, witnessing it, and I tweeted out a video during one of the kind of scuffles from last night where Amen and Jalen just went back to the bench, dapped each other up. They were smiling. So I think the Rockets are in a really good headspace. And when you look at the Rockets coaching staff, everybody obviously knows Ime and his philosophies and how tough-minded he is. But the rest of our coaching staff is like that too, and kind of the defensive coordinator-ish for the Rockets, Royal Ivy, is a tough guy from, you know, Brooklyn, who played for UT and was known to be like that as a player as well, where he was very tough. And so it's actually the culture of our entire staff, which I think has become the culture of the entire Rockets team. And you certainly don't have to press Dylan Brooks or Amen or really any of these guys anymore to get physical. I think the maturity that this Rockets team has showed, when you have a veteran team, a championship dynasty team, and I know that they're different. I'm aware that Klay Thompson is not there. I know they now have Jimmy, but it's still the same Warriors team that Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks had to deal with in Memphis, and that Fred dealt with in Toronto, and that Ime dealt with in Boston, and that the Rockets have dealt with. So when you look at the maturity of how our guys handled that high pressure situation against a veteran team that is known to kind of poke the bear, I was really impressed with our guys for sure.
Vanessa Richardson, Rockets sideline reporter for Space City Home Network, with us on the HRNP guest line. You also got to have perspective on what led to the hostile act, Tari Eason throwing a towel. I'm curious as to what led up to that. And you're on the sidelines. There's probably some things that you got to take to the grave. You got to keep secret. But Fred VanVleet and Draymond Green seem to be chirping with one another. These are two guys who, at the very least, seem to get along off the court during the offseason. I've seen them on the podcast together busting each other's chops. So how did it get from those two jawing with one another to both benches clearing, which I thought was illegal?
Well, they all jaw at each other. And the funny thing is that, like, you'll see Dylan Brooks jaw with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and those two play on Team Canada together. And, like, despite what people think, Amin Thompson actually doesn't hate Tyler Herro. So I think it's look, there's a theatrical element to sports. You know, they call it, quote, sports and entertainment for a reason. There is a part of it that's entertainment. There's a part of it that is these guys are the most competitive athletes in the world. And even the guys that are bench players on NBA teams are still in the upper echelon and top tier of NBA players. These are the most competitive guys in the world. A lot of them have history together. You have to remember that Ime coached Draymond on Team USA. You have to remember that Fred is a veteran that's been around and played Draymond Green many, many times. And for a lot of them, not only are they cool in the off season, but they like arrange workouts because so many of them live out in LA. And so I'm never surprised when I see two guys jawing and then a month later, you see a picture of them on Instagram out to dinner with both of your families. It's just like, and don't get me wrong, like, there are NBA players that are old school and actually don't like each other. But I don't know. I mean, I'm never surprised by that. And I think it makes it fun when you have both teams that are really passionate and competitive.
You've been in all the venues across the NBA the last couple of seasons, and maybe a little bit different this year for the Rockets, given how good that they were. I'm sure that on Saturday they are in for an incredibly hostile crowd, given the Amin Thompson, yeah, Jimmy Butler situation, the Tari Eason throwing the towel, and all of the pushing and shoving that you've seen from both Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green versus one another. And I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but I guess as far as tough venues that the Rockets have played in this year, loud venues that you get to be courtside in the midst of, what was the loudest and how did they fare against it? Because this is definitely going to be another level with this Warriors crowd coming up Saturday night.
Yeah, I think actually the loudest was Boston, and that was the game that they won, you know, when Dylan Brooks tied the franchise record for threes and Amin Thompson made the last minute shot and said he felt like Kobe Bryant. And then the Warriors arena is very, very loud. And so I don't know. It actually might be Boston number one. Warriors could be number two if you're talking about away arenas. But and you saw how Toyota Center got last night, right? Like, playoff basketball, you almost have to put everything to the side because it's like everything, the intensity just gets upped. And, you know, the optics and the visual of everybody wearing the shirts. Well, and by the way, everybody should wear the shirts. You're not too cool to wear the shirts. Wear the shirts. So, I think the two loudest arenas that I'm recent memory remembering are ones that they got wins in. You know, that first one, Boston, they won. And then the second one with the Golden State is when Amin Thompson held Steph Curry to 3 points. So the thing about this team is, even though they're young, they are not easily rattled. And that is an area of growth. Now, I'm not saying last year they were quote unquote easily rattled, but they've grown a lot. They've grown a lot. And I am in high pressure situations. I am up close. Like you said, I can see and hear everything. And I am witnessing that intensity and the physicality. But, Paul, it's also paired with a lot of maturity and calmness that you need in those moments.
That's really cool to hear. Vanessa Richardson from the Space City Home Network. Vanessa, so proud of what you're doing with the Rockets. Love you. Have fun in San Francisco.
Love you.
Watch your step on the sidewalks. Don't step in homeless people poo.
Okay, that was a nice way to end. Thanks, Paul. Love
you.
Thanks.
See ya. That is Vanessa Richardson from the Space City Home Network. So they are not on the call on Saturday's game, but they will be on the call for Monday's game and I think the rest of the series. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A couple of comments on the Twitch. Vanessa's going to be working for ESPN soon. Yeah, did you see Vanessa was on the Herd not that long ago? holding her own, holding court, sitting in the middle. It's an interesting setup what they have. They have like one big desk where the main host is sitting in, and then they have another desk over to the side. Interesting room. Anyway, guys, no one cares about that. But we do care about Vanessa, and we do care about the Houston Rockets. We'll see how they fare on Saturday night. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You want to weigh in on 1, Jalen Green. Can he do that again? 2, Amen Thompson versus Jimmy Butler. Was that dirty? 3, how do you feel about Draymond Green? Can you come up with something more creative than F you, Draymond? And 4, have you ever seen a more hostile act than what Tari Eason did? You want to weigh in on the Texas draft? You also can. You want to weigh in on the Astros getting a sweep? You can't, too. The Astros getting a sweep is the complete back burner. Hell, do we put him in the freezer? It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Don't forget to bring a towel. When you see Draymond Green on the other end of the court and you think he looks like an a-hole, make sure you wrap it up into a nice little knot and then smack him in the face with it. Don't forget to bring a towel. Don't forget to bring a towel if you see Draymond Green on the other side of the court. Wrap a towel around a bar of soap and swing it around your head like a helicopter.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Petey Pablo, go raise up. I'm going to raise up that soap in the towel into your face and fracture your skull. Don't forget to bring a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel if you see Steph Curry and he's having himself quite the night. You know what you do? You grab that towel, you put some chloroform on it, and you put it right in his face. You put it right in his face, and then guess what? No more Steph Curry problems for that night. Nighty night, Steph.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
But don't forget to bring a towel if you see Jimmy Butler and all of a sudden he's getting, well, his pelvis is contused and all. So I mean, listen, I'm trying not to make any Deshaun Watson jokes here, you know, because Deshaun Watson, he would bring a really small towel. He would bring a midget towel. You can't say that if you're talking about a human, but if you're talking about a towel, that's what Deshaun Watson was doing, and he put it on his crotch, and he would also forget to leave the towel on his, you know what, because he was swinging all over the place. I don't know how we got away from Jimmy Butler here, but I imagine,
don't forget to bring a towel.
I imagine Jimmy Butler's going to need a massage on his pelvis. And if he doesn't get massaged, well, we'll see if he's back. But if you have a towel and perhaps you're nearby Jimmy Butler, you should tell him, hey, listen, Jimmy, I think you should sit this one out. Don't forget to bring a towel. Maybe
don't forget to bring a towel.
Just stay in the spa, okay? Just don't even come back.
So there you go. There you go. Don't forget to bring a towel. Does anyone watch a little show called South Park? Some people really just don't seem to understand the joke.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Listen, Towley is an important character in the South Park universe. And if you don't get it, Schmaga 69 or Stalonage, you're just an uncultured slob. And honestly, I should get to wrap a soap up in a towel and perhaps slap you with it, to slap some culture into you, to slap some sense into you. But you know what? We're reserving this energy for the Golden State Warriors fans, okay? I am officially at war. Never thought I would be. It's really sad how petty I am. It doesn't take much to get me going and to hate an entire group of people. It really doesn't. All it takes is a couple of people coming after me. Maybe I wouldn't actually make it as a big-time celebrity, you know? Because I found myself in the middle of the Ime Udoka press conference clapping back at people, one, from the Bay Area, two, from Seattle. Seattle people were coming after me last night. I guess Seattle roots for the Warriors now? So once one Seattle person said no one in Seattle wanted you, that led to me getting angry at one, just Warriors fans as a whole, because I guess this is someone whose basketball team left him coming after me. But there are a lot of people coming after me for defending Draymond Green. Like, that's the thing I'm having a tough time getting past. Like, I was defending him, and people are on the warpath calling me Chris Broussarded, saying I should kill myself, saying I'm a bad person. And I don't get it. I said the play where Jalen Green gave the forearm to Draymond's face, I said that was probably a flagrant foul. And people were like, yeah, but why are you talking about this? Rob? The internet's terrible. I wish we could get rid of it altogether. Don't you? You just get a little solar flare going on and it's just radio. It would be great because then I could start making the big bucks again. I already have an established show and people come to me. They come to me for important things about the world of sports, don't you see? Can Jalen Green do that again? I don't know. I want to say yes. One game does not mean he can do it again. Number two. If Jimmy Butler doesn't play the rest of the series, I do think the Rockets win. But I don't know the Rockets win. And I do think Jimmy Butler is going to be back in this series. Amen Thompson, what he did to Jimmy Butler was not dirty. It was an accident. Draymond Green was not involved in that. I know a lot of people want to blame Draymond Green for that. There's a lot of things to get mad at Draymond Green for it last night. You can join in on the FU Draymond chants if you want. But that, in my opinion, was not on Draymond Green. It was more on Steven Adams than anybody, and it was accidental by Steven Adams, just like it was accidental by Amen Thompson. Number three, the fact that throwing a towel is considered a hostile act in the NBA that required a two-minute review is hysterical. We've done a lot of the don't forget to bring a towel. If you haven't watched the South Park episode with Tally, who come on, games feel, then you're missing out.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole again. I think people were getting a little bit annoyed with how much Tally was in that segment. And just like
you want to get high?
Just like they got annoyed by Tally, the character on the TV show South Park. But that's one of the funnier moments I'll ever remember in a basketball game. You know, imagine a skirmish with two teams facing off against one another and then a towel gets thrown. Tari Eason threw a towel at Pat Spencer, lacrosse legend. And what else do we have coming out of this series? I am curious to see how the Rockets fare on the road. Obviously, the last time they played the Warriors in San Francisco, they won. They held Steph Curry to 3 points, but I do think it's going to be an entirely different animal Saturday. It is going to be loud. The Warriors, much like us, Astros fans, the Warriors have gotten to a point where they are the wine and cheese crowd. What does it take to get them feeling something, you know? What is it going to take for the Warriors fans to get up in arms? Literally everything that happened last night. It's everything. Jimmy Butler got hurt. It was accidental. Doesn't matter. Dylan Brooks was soon doing Dylan Brooks stuff. Maybe not as much Draymond Green stuff as Draymond Green was doing, but Dylan Brooks was doing Dylan Brooks stuff. There was some shoving. There was some pushing. And, of course, you got Rockets fans chanting FU Draymond, which has led some Warriors fans to change their profile picture to Hurricane Harvey. So, like, that's where we're at. We are in the midst of an actual war, and I will lead the vanguard. I will William Tecumseh Sherman, anybody who comes after me, who comes after my city, you bet your bottom dollar. Watch out, okay? I've already been doing that. I spent way too much time on the internet going after random people like Boogerball, like Steph Curry. I love Steph Curry's Willie, 69. Like people like that online. I've been getting in back and forth with them. And honestly, I think I need to let go, B Mac.
Jimmy's a pelvis, 74.
Jimmy's contused pelvis, 69.
You should make a parody account.
Yeah, maybe.
Although that might lead you down the wrong rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, guys. One last segment to go. The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We got a little garbage time. We'll give you some final thoughts on what I think the Houston Texans will do
in the draft tonight, and a lot more. The most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't really have any new information on Shannon Sharp, but Shannon Sharp is saying he's stepping away from the network following the allegations of rape against him. And says that he plans to return to ESPN at the start of the NFL preseason. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. The Rockets beat the Warriors last night. Let's bask in this victory for just a few more minutes. Next game, game three, Saturday in San Francisco. But 109-94, they win last night behind 38 points from Jalen Green. Green was awesome. I loved the confidence that he showed. And to bounce back from game one the way that he did, as Vanessa Richardson laid out on the show a little bit earlier, having the actual chutzpah to admit, like, yeah, maybe it was a little bit too big for me in game one, and to come back the way that he did in game two, really good to see. And now somebody else is going to have to do the same thing. I think that next up, of the young Rockets players, we've had an Alperen Şengün game, we've had a Jalen Green game, it's Amen Thompson time. Amen Thompson was a no-show game one. Amen Thompson in game two got into foul trouble. He had three fouls in the first minute. And the first two fouls were dumb. The third foul, not his fault. The Jimmy Butler one, I know that's going to be talked about over and over and over again. That was not intentional on his part. I hate that people are trying to project as if it is. And I don't really like the way that the Rockets character is being assassinated for a couple of incidents over the course of this game when the Warriors are just as guilty of a lot of things. I would like to just sit back and enjoy two teams that play physical basketball, play against one another, you know? Obviously, there is a vested interest in Houston winning, given that I host a sports talk show in Houston. I want to keep talking about this team. Playoff basketball is significantly more entertaining than regular season basketball, which is why we're talking about it as much as we are, which is why I'm going to the actual games themselves. Why don't you hear every single game, Paul? Listen, it's a good question. I actually should probably go to Toyota Center a little bit more. I feel guilty. They gave me a personalized jersey, for God's sakes. I should be there a little bit more. But the playoff basketball is fun to talk about. I hope the Rockets win. But there is a part of me that just wants to sit back and watch two teams beat the hell out of each other and play a little football in my basketball. Because the Warriors do it, and the Rockets do it. And sure, the Warriors aren't the team that they used to be, but Steph Curry, good God, he is fun to watch. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. Oh, he chose his mouth guard weird. Stop. Come on. The guy's fun to watch. And there's an element of Draymond Green, which you hate watch. You like hate watching him. You do. You like the villain. We all like the villain. Villains make things compelling. It's fun to have somebody that can rally an entire crowd together under a chant of F you, Draymond. It's fun that Draymond Green responds to that by saying, that's not even original. So what we're going to have to do in the coming days before Game 5, which is going to be next Wednesday, and it's at 6:30. Finally, we don't have to play this BS West Coast time. 6:30 next Wednesday, we got to think of something more original. I don't know what it is because I haven't really put any thought into it. Okay? My brain's kind of scrambled. I did a live stream at 3 in the morning that three people watched after the Rockets game because I didn't leave the Rockets game until 2.
So you want to get high?
I mean, Tally, I'm going to need you to step back, okay? Tally, I get it. The Tari Eason towel throwing, a hostile act, was one of those things where, like, we can make Tally a part of the show for a whole show, but Tally, please do not ask me if I want to have a good time. I mean, ask me if I want to get high. Okay? Please don't. I'm just a man. A man who's got a plan, but today there hasn't really been much of one. We've just been talking about this a lot. Texans draft plan. It's going to be Tyler Booker. Screw it. If there is a way to bet on the Houston Texans to draft someone, based off of everything that we heard from the Texans through Todd McShay. Well, not Todd McShay, through Daniel Jeremiah. And from what we just heard earlier in the show from Tyler Booker when he was on with Kay Adams, this is a guy who likes to make people hate football. And not in the way where it's like me watching a third versus fourth place Texans-Titans game on a Thursday night featuring Malik Willis and Davis Mills. Like, not that kind of make me hate football. No. Tyler Booker wants to bully you at the line of scrimmage to the point where you hate football. And you want a leader like that leading your offensive line room. They don't have that. If he's like, Will Anderson, oh, I like that. I like that a lot. And D'Amico Ryans, he loves him, his Bama guys. But he also loves him some guys that are like Will Anderson. And something about D'Amico Ryans, it is a collaborative process between him and Nick Caserio. I think that needs to be acknowledged. Ryans has said he needs to be a little bit better as a scout. But as far as input, he definitely has some. This is input where I feel like he is literally standing on the table and doing a little dance. Doing a little dance. Perhaps it's an Irish river dance. Perhaps it's the Cupid shuffle. Perhaps it's the, what's the other thing, the wobble. He is on the table and he is doing all the insufferable dances that should be banned from weddings. Copperhead Road, he's on that and he's doing it for Tyler Booker. So I think they're going to take Tyler Booker again. If you can find a way to bet on that, you should bet on that possibility. Last chance to dance. Time for a little garbage time before we turn things over to the Killer Bees.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Yes, it is a garbage time. Talk about garbage. How about all the stuff Draymond Green was pulling last night? Hey-o. Talking about garbage. How about, whatever the Cleveland Browns probably do with the draft tonight, huh? Boop, 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 boop.
I think you gotta workshop this material.
Boop, 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 boop. Well, this is what happens when your computer starts acting up in front of you. You had a bunch of notes in front of you, and then you realize that you're not really good at riffing without notes in front of you. I am beholden to my nose.
We could always go to the tally impression again. When all else fails.
I theoretically could.
Tally's here for you.
Taylor Scott is an American citizen. Yes, that's right. The Astros pitcher, after a long process, has become a U.S. citizen. And to celebrate it, he wore a cowboy hat spattered with stars and a Coors t-shirt that he bought at Target. Taylor Scott, for those who don't know, is from South Africa and officially became a U.S. citizen on Monday. He began the process to become a citizen after marrying his wife in 2018. So congratulations to Taylor Scott. Remember when South Africans were bad? Does anyone remember that?
Well, wasn't the Blade Runner South African?
I don't know if Blade Runner was South African, but I do know that in Lethal Weapon 2, the bad guys were South African. There was a brief phase, and I think it was like right at the end of the Cold War when we and the Russians weren't as, you know, at each other's throats as we had been, where because of the apartheid that was going on in South Africa, where South Africans were the bad guys. They had like a 5-year run, you know, before being replaced by people from the Middle East after, you know, 9/11 and all that stuff.
It's a good run for the South Africans.
The South Africans, they had themselves a run. But guess what? Taylor Scott didn't face any discrimination for being of South African descent. Have you guys seen the latest mugshot for Justin Blackmon? Remember him? Jaguars top pick all those years ago. Goodness gracious, man. It actually bums me out. He got charged with public intoxication. I want to say this about Justin Blackmon. Blackmon was a bust. The guy could not get his substance issues in order. But there was a game where Matt Schaub threw for 500 yards and where Andre Johnson caught 250 yards worth of passes, including a walk-off screen for a touchdown, where Justin Blackmon had 7 catches for 236 yards and a touchdown. It's the only good game he ever had in the league. And he had a couple other ones where he had like 80 yards receiving, but what a waste. He was awesome at Oklahoma State.
It's insane that he could do that and then literally do nothing else in his career.
Yeah.
You could go for over 200, but you're not capable of doing anything else.
This is where I call a guy a bust. He was clearly capable of doing this. And because he couldn't keep things on the straight and narrow, he blew that tremendous opportunity that he had to make millions and millions of dollars. He was a great talent in college. It's a bummer. That mugshot is honestly really sad to see. And on that note, that depressing note, Rockets won! Huzzah! Texas draft tonight! Huzzah! Astros sweep! Huzzah! That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. Thank you to everyone who listened. Thank you to our texters. Thank you to our callers. Thank you to our YouTubers. Thank you to our Twitchers. And thank you to Brian McDonald and for Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Enjoy the NFL draft. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.